So we have a solemnity of the Blessed Mother under the title of the Holy Mother of God. This title in Greek, Theotokos, was confirmed at the Council of Ephesus. The Council of Ephesus in the 400s was not gathering in order to determine the title of Mother Mary. It was gathering in order to clarify who Jesus was. Fully God, fully man, but one. His hypostatic union, his unity in his divine personhood. Confirming that we know that Jesus existed before all time. Second person of the Holy Trinity. And yet he was born of Mary, who was a creature created by God. The Word himself, Jesus, would have been part of the creation of his own mom. Think about it that way. You know, if you could pick and choose your own mom, you know, you'd pick really well, right? If you could make her from scratch. It's funny, I can look out there because you all have a mom. You all understand that. In giving Mary the title Mother of God, the Church is not presuming that she existed before God. But what the Church is saying is that who Jesus is, it's not right to say that Mary is simply the mother of Jesus' humanity. Because Jesus is one, fully human, fully divine. She is the mother of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man. And so the Church in the 400s made it very clear, it is okay to refer to Mary as Mother of God, because Jesus is God. Your mother does not give birth in giving birth to you only to your flesh. Right? Yeah, this is the mother of my body. Everybody, listen, her name's Veronica, and my mother of my body, you know. You know, your mother is the mother of your entirety, body and soul and spirit. She's the mother of even the eternal parts that God has placed within you. She's your mom. And so this feast day today, to understand it properly, we have to understand it as a feast day of relationship, a relationship between Mother Mary and her son Jesus, a relationship in which we recognize who Jesus is, therefore we know who Mother Mary is. Nothing more, nothing less. We look at the readings today, the readings are all about the eighth day. They're all about what happens on the eighth day, circumcision, the giving of the name. Two events. Jesus is circumcised. He enters into the covenant of Abraham. He sheds blood for the first time for the salvation of the world. He enters into the covenant of Abraham. God is now on both sides of that covenant. It could no longer be broken. Whenever it was God on one side and humanity on the other, it was always this risk that we were going to jack it up. I don't know if I can say jack it up in front of you, but you know what I'm saying. Mess it up. As long as humanity was on one side and God on the other. But now God has come and has become one with our humanity. He now is on both sides of that covenant to bring that covenant into perfection, to bring that covenant into the means for the salvation of the entire world through his son, Jesus. Not only is he circumcised and enters into the covenant of Abraham, but he also receives the name Jesus. It is on the eighth day, when the baby boy is circumcised, that the name is given. And don't forget what Jesus means. It means that the Lord saves, the Lord will save. Jesus is the embodiment, the salvation that God has been planning for all ever since the fall. He is the embodiment of it all. So we get the holy name of Jesus today. We get a way to name our church, almost 150 years ago. I Santissimi Nomini di Gesù, the most holy name of Jesus. Last part for ourselves, right? Talk about all this stuff about God, all these things, and we always have to apply it to our life a little bit. To know who God is, to know that he has saved us, reveals to us who we are. In acceptance of that, following the weekend's homily, we see in the second reading an allusion to that. The proof that you are sons and daughters of God, that you have become adopted children, that you have been incorporated into the family, is that God sent his Son, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts. So that from our hearts, we would call God our Father, Abba. To truly know who Jesus is, my brothers and sisters, it's interesting. The world is so preoccupied with knowing who we are, and there's a hopefulness that is attached to this time of year every year, right? You get a new calendar. There's no mistakes on your calendar. The other day, I opened up my planning calendar. I've had it stapled to my last year's calendar for months now because I'm planning stuff for weddings and all that stuff. But I ripped off the old calendar and I opened up to the first page and I looked at the first page with this joyful anticipation of no mistakes. And then I looked in there and I saw that I'd already made appointments and had to line them out. And I was like, ugh. So I got out the whiteout and I made it look pretty again. There's this joyful hopefulness that is always attached to this time of year, of a new beginning, a new ability to create yourself anew, all of these things. And that there's plenty of books out there that will tell you how to do it for $19.95. We are preoccupied with knowing who we are. We all want self-confidence, to be confident and bold in knowing who you are. Because we know that when you know who you are, when you have an identity, that you are. You're able to act without fear. You can enter into life. And so the world scrambles to know who it is, and it wants to reinvent itself, and it wants, well, this year I'm going to be this. Next year I'm going to be whatever I want to be. But the reality of this feast day, where we see a connection of relationship between Jesus being revealed, and therefore we know the definition, to make it sound clinical, the definition of Mother Mary. She is defined by Jesus. Good news, my brothers and sisters. We too are defined by Jesus. Who he is, what he has come into the world to be and to do for us, what he has done, that he is truly the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ who has come into the world to redeem us, to invite us into redemption, to share in his communion with the Father, that we as branches would be grafted to the vine, and that his divine life would live within us. And the sign of this is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is who we are. As Catholics, as Christian believers, we should be the most self-confident people in the world because we know who we have become in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, you are beloved sons and daughters of God. When you pray, you call God your Father because that is who He is to you. This is who we are. And in the truth of who you are, a beloved son and daughter, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed clean, made new, we get to live. You see how it works, right? We know who we are in identity, and then we do. You don't make who you are by your doing. If I made who I was by my doing, I'd be often a wretched sinner. I was broken and short all the time. No, we are revealed as God is revealed, and His actions reveal who we are in Him. So today, my brothers and sisters, rejoice. Rejoice. We know three things today. A reason to rejoice in the beginning of this new year. We know who Jesus is, truly God, truly man, Savior of the world, the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption and salvation for us all. Rejoice. Second thing we know who Mother Mary is. A humble human being created by God, who gives birth to the eternal Son of God. She is the Holy Mother of God. And lastly, my brothers and sisters, rejoice, for you know who you are. And who you are is kept safe because it is defined by the actions of God and not your actions. You are known. You are loved. You are a beloved son, a beloved daughter, and no one can take that from you. Enter into this year with joy. Enter into this year with the greatest of confidences, knowing exactly who you are. Amen.